The beginning of the parsha, after talking about the various materials that are needed and how the Jewish people have to come together to respond to Moshe's call in God's name, of course. God says through Moshe Rabbeinu, "Va'asuli migdash, don't make for me a migdash, v'shachanti, and I will dwell amongst them." Va'amru Razal, there's a statement which is made by our sages, which is found in a number of different midrashic sources, and it says like this: Kol makim shenem ali, wherever we show up the word li, so va'asu li migdash. It doesn't say va'asu migdash. It says va'asu li lamed yud, li to me eini zaz la'ilam. It will never depart. It will never move. It will never disappear. Loi ba'ilam haza v'loi ba'ilam haba. Not in this world. Not in the other world. The Beis Hamikdash Mahoemer, the Medrash goes on to say, and a proof of this, what does it say about the Holy Temple? It says, V'asuli. Asuli, make for me a Migdash. That's what the Medrash says. So the Medrash says, God says, Li Migdash, it's there forever. That's an obvious question. V'tzarech lahavin. This really needs to be understood. Hadei HaMigdash, the Beis Hamikdash, which is the Mishkan, the Ikri Migdash, as the modern Erevin says, Mishkan and Migdash are interchangeable. Mishkan is a permutation of the word Shechina, which means the place where God's presence dwells. Migdash is a permutation of the word Kodesh, holy, the house that's holy unto God. So it's really one and the same. Arei hoyu beishinuyim. There were great changes. You cannot say that once it was established, it was there for posterity. V'chein ha-migdash sha'asa shleima, the Migdash that was built and put together by Shleima HaMelech, v'habayis ha-sheni, and the second Beis HaMikdash, nechrevu, they were destroyed. Hainu, in other words, leizu bulvad, shahoyu behem shinuyim, not only was it in izaz, not only was it not immutably in place, and it did change, it did move, elabatul gamri, it disappeared altogether. It's not even on the radar anymore. Eich nemar, how could one say, ein izaz la'ilam, it never moves. You better believe this moves. It moved totally out of the neighborhood. We don't have it anymore. We haven't had it for a very long time. So what is the meaning of in izaz la'ilam? Wherever it says li, that's it. Yours eternally. Mevayer. So the Tzemach Tzedek explains in Eret Teira, shemigdash ha'elyoin mechuber lemigdash ha'tachtin. There's a heavenly Beis HaMikdash, and that heavenly supernal Beis HaMikdash is always linked and connected to the material Beis HaMikdash, to the lower Beis HaMikdash. Ucheinyin, this is along the same lines of Yerushalayim Habnuya, the city of Yerushalayim, which we will be rebuilt in all of its glory, will be ki'ir shechubra lo yachdav. This is a pasuk in Tehillim, in the Shir HaMalas. It'll be like a city that was united together. What does it mean, united together? The wall was only built in Jerusalem in 1948. They divided the city. Only now they speak about dividing the city. Never in history was Jerusalem a divided city. So what was that? David HaMelech talking about a time when the Jerusalem will be divided and then it will be reunited? What does it mean? So Chubra Lo Yachdav means, our sages tell us, that there's Yerushalayim Shalmaila, there's a heavenly city of Jerusalem, and that it's Mechubarim Yerushalayim Shalmata, that it's linked to an earthy Jerusalem. V'zeu Ein Nizaz La'ilam. That's the meaning, it never moves. It may move materially, it never moves spiritually. That's one answer that Tzemach Tzedek gives. And that means, Shemeir gam achshav beruchnius migdash ha'elyon, that the Beis HaMikdash, the spiritual Beis HaMikdash, resonates and illuminates just as previously. Continues to be a force in the world, a force to be reckoned with. I remember once the Rebbe saying something to the effect of, the Beis HaMikdash, it was destroyed. That is to say, the material Beis HaMikdash, not the spiritual Beis HaMikdash. So, it's a Torah truth. Torah truth is a truth. Never live the Torah truth. Spiritual Beis HaMikdash is extant. It's extant. So that's one answer. Then we have another problem here. What's the problem? This is a great spiritual idea. It's very profound. It's very lofty. It's very beautiful. But maza shayach l'Beis HaMikdash HaGashmi. What does it have to do with the material Beis HaMikdash? What does it mean? We talk about the physical Mikdash. Allah, it's about the material Beis HaMikdash, about the material Mishkan, that it says, va'asu li Mikdash, she'en izaz la'ilam. They'll make for me. Asu li means in this world, not in the heavens. The angels can make a Beis HaMikdash in heaven. God makes a Beis HaMikdash in heaven. We make a Beis HaMikdash on earth. If we make a Beis HaMikdash on earth, and God says, Ein nizaz misham lo'elo, so if God makes a Beis HaMikdash in heaven, very nice that that lasts for posterity. Very nice, that's eternally ours. But the Beis HaMikdash that we make, where God says, V'asuli, you'll make for me, and then Ein nizaz, that will never change, that will never depart, that will never move. How does that work out? So the Rebbe says, if you go to the Maimer at Tzemach Tzedek, you'll see Shalachain, maybe Tzemach Tzedek brings a secondary explanation. And this is based on the verse Ve'eh Yolahem Migdash Ma'at. It's a pasuk in Yechezkel. He speaks about a galus that will unfold. And he says, I will be for them a minor sanctuary. Ve'amru Razal. And the Gemara in Megillah tells us that what is this referring to? Eh Yolahem Migdash Ma'at. I will be for them in a minor sanctuary, a microcosm of a sanctuary. That means Elu Batik Nisiyas Ubatim Midrashas. These are the houses of prayer and the houses of Torah study, which are found in Galut in Bavel. Really, it doesn't mean in Bavel. Hainu b'chol makim, in every place. Gam b'zman ha-galos, even in a time of galos. God is amongst us in a macro, in the Beis HaMikdash, and God is amongst us in a microcosmic sense. There were microcosmic temples, microcosmic Mikdashim. And even in Eretz Yisrael, where there were shuls and Batim Midrashas. Even the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there's a Mikdash Ma'at. There's a Mikdash Ma'at, a small Beis HaMikdash, and then there's a big Beis HaMikdash. So, Hine, Habatik Nisiyas, Habatik Midrashes, Hey Mikdash Ma'at. The Beis HaMikdash at large is no longer, not in a material sense, but the little, the microcosmic Beis HaMikdash, it is, it was, and it is, and it continues. And that's Ein Nizaz Lo'elo. So, in other words, the Tzemach Tzedek does provide two, if you will, two matrices to use, two systems to use to try to understand this business of Ein Nizaz Lo'elo. It says that if it says it Ein Nizaz, Ein Nizaz. That's what it says. It must be so. The question is how? How do we understand it? So matrix one is, this is both business of Migdash Shemayla, there's Yerushalayim Shemayla, heavenly city of Jerusalem, the heavenly reality of Beis HaMikdash, and that's Ein Nizaz, that lasts for posterity, that's always there, that will never depart. Then there's a secondary idea, and this is the idea that Eileh Migdash Ma'at means God says there will be a microcosmic sanctuary, which this is the smaller, in a smaller sense, in a miniature sense, this is the houses of study, this is the houses of Torah study, that will be in Bavel and Golos. This could be in Eretz Yisrael, it could be in Golos. The point is, time and space do not make a distinction in the idea of Migdash Ma'at. And the Migdash Ma'at is a reflection of the Migdash at large. So the minor sanctuary is a miniature of the big one. And since the miniature remains, so we could reasonably say, Enizaz La'ilam, that's the meaning of God says it never departs. It's interesting to note that on the first 12 days of Nisan, we have a holiday. They're celebratory days. We don't say Tachton and so on and so forth. Why not? Because in the time of the Mishkan, the Jewish people established the Mishkan for the first time. Okay, that's nice. That Mishkan hasn't risen for a long time. So why would we make that an eternal holiday? And the answer is, because that began a process that never ended. That's when the Shekhinah came down. And once the Shekhinah was actualized, the Shekhinah remains with us in one form or another. So ideally, perfect world, Mishkan evolves into Migdash, and then we have a Migdash amongst us. And if that, chas v'shalom, is not the case, we lose the Migdash, and we lose not only the Mishkan, but Migdash as well. What are we left with? We're left with God's presence amongst us. Migdash ma'at. But God's presence is still with us. So the Rebbe now suggests that the fact that the Tzemach Tzedek gives us two answers is yesh l'hoisef b'zeh. First of all, the Rebbe says, l'chein mevi ad moreh Tzemach Tzedek oid bir. Because of this obvious question, that's what the Tzemach Tzedek has to bring the second answer. In other words, he charts a path. He says, okay, the matrix to understanding this is going to be the idea that there's a heavenly reality, a spiritual reality of Jerusalem and of Migdash. And then he kind of adds a secondary pathway in and develops both of these ideas. But the question is, why does he go into two tracks? Take a track, take an idea, develop it, you know, go with it. Because the Tzemach Tzedek is concerned with the implicit question that's great in heaven, it's great on a spiritual level. What about here? I mean, after all, the pasuk speaking about Asli Migdash means in this world. So the Rebbe suggests that's why the Tzemach Tzedek takes that second track, because part of this question ultimately is not answered when we talk about a spiritual Jerusalem. So now that we have an understanding of both, that there's a spiritual reality and a heavenly Jerusalem, and a heavenly Beis HaMikdash and a spiritual Beis HaMikdash, as well as a material reality, Hine bati gnesias or bati medrashes, the miniature Beis Hamikdash, that's Ein Izaz, even in this world. The Rebbe adds now another nuance. V'yesh lahisa b'zeh. Zeu gamatech ne'inyan dein Izaz mirushlaim shalmaila. The Rebbe suggests that actually they're not two different answers. They're not two separate tracks. They're not two separate matrices. In fact, they are contingent one upon the other. And one contributes to the other. And he says something now. This is a big chiddush. Rebbe says, Mikivan she'en yizaz mirushalayim shalmaila, precisely because the heavenly city of Jerusalem continues to function and exist, precisely because there is a spiritual Beis Hamikdash that doesn't go anywhere, that's why loyizaz mirushalayim shalmata, that's why Jerusalem on earth doesn't disappear. That's why Jerusalem on earth is still meaningful. The gam kasher hoya hachurban ba'efen de kilech hamasei ala etzim v'ha ala v'avanim, that even when there was destruction, and God, so to speak, vented his fury on stones and on wood, not on people. So nisher gam beis hamikdash shalamata. The Beis Hamikdash shalamata is still here. And where is the Beis Hamikdash shalamata? The Beis Hamikdash shalamata is bati knesiyas or bati midrashas. The small Beis Hamikdash. So that's still connected. That's the Mikdash Ma'at. How is that a Mikdash Ma'at? Because there is a Mikdash, a major Mikdash, in a heavenly way. And because of the major Mikdash in a heavenly way, that's why it filters through and resonates even in a material Beis Hamikdash right here on earth. So a simple example, maybe it's like a lame metaphor, but maybe help us understand. You could have, let's say, a satellite. You send off a satellite into heaven. That's not the heaven we're talking about. That heaven is material heaven, but it's a metaphor. So you have the satellite, and the satellite enables a particular machinery, a mechanism here on Earth. There are, let's say, I don't know if it's the Hubble telescope or other, these major, that's a major thing, and it communicates with a satellite in the outer space, and together there's this conjunction of what's going on in outer space, what's going on here on Earth. Okay, fine. Then we have the GPS technology. But today, everybody's iPhone is telling you exactly where to go. You're on the DVP, it's a parking lot, there's 500,000 cars there. Everybody's got a GPS on, and everybody's getting a different communication because everybody's going somewhere else. And the GPS is telling each person, you have 29 minutes to your journey, you have 42 minutes to your journey, you'll be arriving in 36 minutes. But everybody's in the same place, and yet they're all connecting, possibly to the same satellite. How is every individual GPS working? How's every individual iPhone getting its information? How's Waze communicating with you? Because it's all connected to this gigantic satellite. So that gigantic satellite is not only enabling, let's say, if you have I don't know how the Hubble telescope works, but if the Hubble telescope has a satellite that it communicates with, so there's something on Earth, and it communicates with some kind of mechanism. And then you could have this idea that there's this outer space mechanism that's communicating, animating, and activating tens of thousands or millions of little devices. So we have this idea that Jerusalem Shel Mata is connected to Jerusalem Shel Maila. There's a heavenly Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem gives energy, vitality, and meaning to an earthly Jerusalem. And that's Ein Izaz, so it doesn't change. That heavenly Jerusalem continues to function. But where is it on earth? The answer is when the Beis HaMikdash is not here. When the major Mikdash is not in place, then there's these little satellites or these little GPSs that give us direction. Where are the little GPSs? Every shul, every yeshiva. And that's why the Gemara in Brachas tells us, the Gemara asks a question that how are there old people in Bavel? It says, L'man yirbu yimechem al ha'adama. You should have a long life on the land. What does the Gemara answer? We say, oh, those old people, because they go to shul every day. And basically that Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael is an energy that you receive in a Beis HaMikdash, in a Beis HaKnesses of Mikdash Mat. So if you go to a shul, it's like an embassy. It's like the air. It's a different diplomatic space. So all of this helps us understand that Rebbe's chiddush here is that the Tzemach Tzedek is not giving us just two explanations. Number one, two explanations are necessary because the first question doesn't answer the terrestrial second question, where's the material Mikdash? And number two, the Rebbe says that the reason that the Mikdash Ma'at functions in the manner that it functions, that it could be even called the Mikdash Ma'at, is because it's connected to Yerushalayim Shel Maila. And that's the Ein Izaz Misham, that's the continued reality of the Beis HaMikdash that functions despite the fact that in an earthly terrestrial way, it seems to have been an enormous amount of change. However, tzarech lavan, we have to understand. What, after all, is the big novelty here? Coming along and saying that God's presence is found in every small Beit HaKnesses or Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because there's a Beis HaMikdash, a holy Beis HaMikdash in heaven. And because the Mikdash in heaven, Mikdash on earth is animated in the microcosmic way. 1 second, the Rebbe says, isn't God everywhere? Hadek Siv, it is written, as a Shamayim Vesaret Sani Mole. Does God need a satellite to communicate? God is everywhere. Your GPS needs a satellite. God doesn't. You don't need a satellite. Your Migdash doesn't need a satellite. God's presence is everywhere. So if God's presence is everywhere, what do I need to have a Migdash for? Hainu, she'alekusei is but of the godliness and divine energies, nimtza b'chol makim, is in every place. Not only the level of divinity, which we can use the terminology mole, means it fills, which is what's called in the syntax of mystical Jewish teaching. The level of divinity that matches and narrows itself to each and every individual reality of creation. Ani. Ani is the essence of God. God higher than the name. That represents what's called Seiviv Kol Almin, the atmospheric reality of divinity that for which everything is equal. So Seiviv Kol Almin, even higher than Seiviv Kol Almin, Ani is Mali. Ani, I, the essence of divinity, is everywhere. If the essence of divinity is everywhere, who needs a Migdash Ma'at? And who needs a Migdash Ma'at that's communicating with a Migdash in heaven, and that's why God's presence is here. What do you mean? God's presence is here because God's presence is everywhere. Vafilu im timtza leimar. So what's the chiddush of a Beis HaMikdash? And even if you want to say sham mishka, sham shachis alikus sarach liyisaydei avedas ha'odam, that's because the fact that divinity is everywhere is not something that you and I achieved. You and I didn't do anything to make that happen. God made that happen. If God made it happen, big deal. It's of no value, virtue, of merit, because you didn't make it happen. And God wants that you should be his partner. You should actualize divinity in this world. Yeah, that still doesn't really make sense, because why is that connected to v'asuli migdash? Then any avodah we do, anytime I do a mitzvah, anytime I overcome the Yetzer Hara, who says, eat the cheeseburgers. Nope, not going to do that. That's good enough. Then you brought God. Iskafia sitra achra. You break the sitra achra. Istalki kar de kuchabricho. You bring God's presence. And every time I said, no, I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to learn Narmai Mechsidis. I'm going to put on Tfilin Davin. That's it. God's presence. So I don't need Vasuli Migdash. I don't need this one. I have 613 mitzvahs. Every time I do a mitzvah, I'm actualizing God's presence. Every time I refrain from doing something which God says don't do, I'm also actualizing God's presence. So what is need Vasuli Migdash? Just follow mitzvahs. And God's presence comes to this world, or is manifest, or revealed in this world. Acha'inyan, the thing is like this. Kimuvur Baruch B'Tanya, like it explains in great length at the end of the book of Likutei Amorim, the first book of Tanya. The Achidush de Beis HaMikdash, that the novelty of Beis HaMikdash is Shatiya Hashras HaShchina Begolui, that God's presence should be manifest, should be felt, seen, even known in a Mokim Mesuyim, in a certain place. Ukimoi, the metaphor that's used to help us wrap our heads around this is hanefesh hamislabeshes beguf, the soul which is embodied in the corporeal reality. Hare hanefesh hu etzem poshut. Everybody understands that the soul does not have a nose or eyes, esophagus, or cardiac tissue. The nefesh is something which is far beyond all those little details. It's nimtze b'chol evri aguf b'shava. The nefesh is not more in one's nose or in one's toes. The nefesh is everywhere. The person is alive. And because the person is alive, the person, there's chayis, there's vitality. So you could have a Hulk Hogan sleeping, the rats will not come chew on his toes. You have a person, God forbid, the nefesh is out there, it's a corpse. In no time they did a feast. What's the difference? The difference is that they sense, they know the vitality of the neshama. And the neshama, not they don't feast on his brain when he's sleeping. They don't feast on his toes. They don't go near him. Why? Because the nefesh is there, and the nefesh is everywhere. The oisa nefesh, hi amislabeshes b'chod amachevarim, the same nefesh is in all 248 limbs, all shasagidim, all proverbial 365 sinews. Ba'afal pikein, and despite the fact that the nefesh is everywhere, it's not a person's brain is alive, his ears are alive, his eyes are alive, his heart is alive. He or she is alive. I am alive. All of me is alive. So, afal pikein, barak hadash baruch hu sa adam b'efen kazeh, God created the person. He ushered in this reality, shemokim hashras hanefesh begolui hu b'moich shebereish, that the place of the nefesh is a residence in the body is openly and overtly seen in the brain. So they do brain scans. They don't say elbow dead, knee dead. They say brain dead. The truth is that doesn't even make sense either. How can you be brain, either you're dead or alive? You can't be brain dead. What does even brain dead? Person is alive, he's alive. If the neshama is there, the neshama is there. If there's no neshama, there's no neshama. You can't detect it in the brain. Okay, it's a big problem. I don't know what the answer is, but what happens if in 5 years they figure out how to re-stimulate brain tissue that now comes across as brain dead? What would you call it? Tchis HaMesim? Now the doctor becomes a resurrector? Everybody will understand not. So then how could you say he's dead now? It doesn't make any sense. But nonetheless, there is a revealed area, the greatest amount of vitality, chayis, where could you see scan of the brain? So that's where it's there in an overt way. And from there it comes to the whole body. Ah, so this Alter Rebbe explains is the chenu gam b'migdash. Same thing as with the Beis HaMikdash. Shebo yashros hashchino hi begoli. In the Beis HaMikdash, God's presence is manifest, overt, available, open. From there, vitality comes to the whole world. Tzidu Shalayim is like the top of the globe. A circle is arbitrary. Anyway, it could be the top. That function is the head. And the head is where the vitality is in a manifest way. From the head, it comes everywhere else. And here we have two opinions, how that works. If it actually settles into the Beis HaMikdash, and then from there it gets processed and sent off to the rest of the world, or if it's derech maiver, it just kind of passes through. But so this is a discussion for another day, how exactly that works. Chassidus talks about that. But the point being made is that the Beis HaMikdash is the area in which God's presence is manifest, much like the brain, and through that comes vitality to the rest of the body. So l'chayda, what the Rebbe is saying then is that the Mikdash Ma'at serves as a miniature of this head thing, which means that God's presence is most in every neighborhood where is the Beis HaMikdash, where is the Beis HaMedrash, the Beis HaKnesses, and that ultimately becomes a source of life, it would seem, for everybody around it. That's what it would seem. That's a natural progression. Anyway, that's the first volley of the Maimer, and we are unfortunately out of time.